A sermon for Maundy Thursday out of the Gospel of John in the 13th chapter. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean, and you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, he put on his robe and he returned to the table. He said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for this is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." May the triune God, who washes our feet constantly and frees us to do the good work in the world, be with us now and always. Amen. I met them in the emergency department. A married couple, one half of the same heart, was quietly slipping away. The other half was taking stock of the last things. I had just ducked in to check on Carl and ended up staying for 30 minutes or so. I learned that his husband of 30 years was coming up against the last bit of his life. Carl didn't think that Joe would be making it out of the hospital this time. Sometimes last things come while at home, and sometimes not. I learned that Carl had been caring for Joe over the past 3 years as he battled all sorts of ailments. He was tired, I could tell, tired and also somehow settled. He told me he was going to slip home to shower and get some things for the stay he knew was coming, and asked me to come back later in the evening to check on both of them. I said that I would. Last things are difficult, and sometimes company in them is soothing. I went back over the course of my shift a few more times, and then again right before I clocked out, just after breakfast. Carl and Joe were now on a unit. Carl said that Joe's breathing was settled a bit more, that the medications were allowing him to be less restless, but he still really wasn't awake. I held Joe's hand and told him how much Carl loved him. I told him that he was safe here and that I would come back to check on both of them. Carl stood up when I went to leave and asked, "Can I give you a hug?" I said yes. Sometimes, during the last things, physical touch is all you need. Over the course of the next 4 days, I checked in on Carl and Joe many times, and I'm positive I was breaking some sort of chaplain program rule, but I felt connected, and I was scooped up in a story that I was being told. It was one of the most beautiful love stories I have ever heard. It put any Hallmark movie to shame. But real life really is beautiful, isn't it? Carl was busy with last things. He trusted me with his worry. He trusted me with his love story. He trusted me with his fears of a future without the love of his life. He trusted me with his anxiety as to what to do with all those books. You see, I learned that Joe loved books, had so many that there were boxes everywhere. And Joe seemed to know when Carl was talking about what to do with all those books because he would always grow more restless in his bed at that time. I held both their hands. I hugged Carl hello and goodbye, and I helped him with some of the last things that the hospital needed. Joe died early in the morning hours of a day that I was off, and so I received a note from Carl saying how grateful he was for my time and care and compassion, and that he wanted to stay in touch. A few weeks later, I received a note card, hand-painted by one of Carl's favorite friends, and a check to help with my studies, it said. He said Joe would have wanted it this way, that Joe would have wanted to make sure you didn't have a hard time serving others, that it was Joe's last thing to do for you. I cried, big, huge, last thing tears. I check in with Carl ever so often, and I'm glad that he had the time for last things, because sometimes we don't have time for them, right? Our loved ones are taken by an accident or a sudden death, and we don't have time to say the things we want to say and hold the hands we want to hold and hug and snuggle a loved one that one last time. And sometimes we have days and weeks and months for last things, almost drawn out so much that it's sometimes unbearable the amount of last things that need our attention. What are the last things that you have as memories of those you love? What are the important last things for you? What are Jesus' last things as told to us in the Gospel of John today? It seems to be that we're gathering for a meal, we're washing feet, we're professing love for each other as you are, and we have Jesus leaving a mark of himself on each one of his followers. You see, we are lucky and we are blessed to be eating at the Lord's table today. We will be eating at that table for the last time until Easter evening. Some of us who have not been able to make it to church are still yearning to eat from the Lord's table together in a community. It feels like the last thing that is missing as we reconfigure ourselves as a church body coming out of the darkness of the pandemic. This table is open to all who seek it, because that was the table that Jesus set in the upper room, and that is the table that we set each Sunday here together. You see, Jesus fed anyone who came to seek him out, even those who would betray him later. No one is kept from the love extended to us through the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ, who flows in, under, and between the bread and the wine? And what of the washing of the feet? Well, when you walk around the dusty paths and streets of first century Palestine wearing sandals, one's feet obviously would get dirty. And it was a custom to remove your sandals and have your feet washed before entering into someone else's house, similar to the tradition of removing your shoes at the front door of the lanai before walking around inside homes all over Hawaii. Usually this washing was done by the servants because it's something that needs to be done. It's a dirty job. And here in this gospel story, we have Jesus stepping in because no one else seems to be doing it. He shows his disciples and us that providing care and love is all wrapped up in the process of humbling oneself. I can't help but think of the times when I sat and fed someone in their hospital bed some pudding or applesauce, spoonful by slow spoonful, how they were open to being cared for, and how much providing simple caretaking breaks open your soul to be open to all things. The simple last things are also the most profound last things, don't you think? I hope that later you will allow yourself this gift to allow someone to wash your feet and to not worry about your quirky toes or your calluses or your sock fuzz. It isn't about that. It's about so much more than that. It's about professing our love for one another as Jesus did right there in the first verse that we read. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Professing love is so much more than simply saying it. Jesus showed love through his actions that night, in the feeding and the blessing, in the washing and the teaching, and in the new commandment to leave our fingerprints all over the world and to leave fingerprints on each other in our actions of love. Because verse 34 and 35 spells this out, this new commandment. I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The true message that shoots straight to the heart is that we will be known as followers of Christ, not by the rules we write or the sacred structures we keep in place, or the piousness of our families, or the number of times we attend church, or the value of the money that we put in the offering plate, or the scriptures we can recite from memory. No, we will be known to all those in the world as followers of Christ by the love we extend to each other and our neighbors. The fingerprint of Christ is the love that pours out of you. Let's then leave our fingerprints of love all over this world. But first, let's wash up, dine at the divine open table, profess our love in a sign of peace. Then and only then will the indelible fingerprints of the one who overcomes death and evil and despair and darkness will be revealed. Because, my sisters and brothers, the image of the Creator has been there all along, in, amongst, and between each piece and portion of you. Our job, then, is to remind each other of this fact. That is our calling as Christians, to mark up the world with our love because we have been loved and marked up ourselves, without asking, without effort, and without worthiness. In fact, because of all of that. So during the time of last things, really isn't that what we have left, really? The love we've received and the love we have given is what's important. That was all Carl wanted to share with me about Joe. And I know that that's what Joe was feeling in those last days, even though he couldn't express it. I was changed in my heart to have seen that up close and personal yet again. Just as I am changed each time I meet Jesus in these Gospels. Thanks be to God, the maker and keeper of love, the divine instrument of last things. Amen.